This podcast is supported by Washington.org. Washington, D.C. offers visitors so much to explore. Just ask Dayo, who shared her experiences from a recent visit.
What was your favorite food all weekend?
The Ethiopian food at Sihei.
And the first place you would visit again?
The bookstore, Little District Books.
What did you appreciate the most?
Really just like the genuine kindness of everyone that I encountered this weekend.
Why should people visit D.C.?
Well, D.C. is a place with such a thriving culture.
Washington, D.C. has something for everybody. Plan your next trip at Washington.org.
Welcome to the New York Times podcast, your eight-year degree from Harvard of music news and criticism. I'm your host, John Garamonica. Can you feel the excitement in the air? Do you ever see what happens when a piece of fresh meat is tossed before a pack of rabid animals? What I'm trying to say is it's Grammy nomination day and the whole squad is here. You were listening to Lizzo and the Baby.
Again.
That was Truth Hurts. Remix extended Boiler House version. 2019 will not go down as one of the most memorable years in pop music. This year's Grammy nominations there were a couple of left field people topping. We have Lizzo, who has 8 nominations. We've got Billie Eilish, who has 6 nominations. Lil Nas X. Joe, how many? 6?
6.
6. Lil Nas X. You may remember Lil Nas X. He was famous 6 months ago. You might remember who he is. So we are going to talk about the 62nd annual Grammy nominations. The whole gang's here. To my right, it's chief pop critic John Perellis.
Right here.
Joe Coscarelli is here, our New York Times pop music reporter. Are you with the SBs again today?
Oh, yeah, same shoes. You know, I don't really change my sneakers.
I didn't know if you may be pushing a low-top blazer today. Like, I don't know. Could happen. Karen Gans, pop music editor in the New York Times.
Hi, John.
Karen, would you like me to apologize to Brandi Carlile right now?
You could do it after you introduce Ben.
Okay. Ben Cesario. So I learned that Ben, last name, is actually Ben Cesario.
Correct.
So if you had a elder who worked at Ellis Island, screw you. Ben is the music business reporter of the New York Times and a new resident of the fourth floor.
That's right.
Welcome. Bienvenue. Pedro's also here. Pedro, I'm not going to knock the thing as much as I did on the last episode. I'm not going to promise that.
I'm going to put the over under at 3, and yeah. I'm going to take the over.
That's real dirtbag stuff.
I just know that
I don't speak gambling.
Us
I don't
Italians,
know.
we speak with our hands.
Oi.
Is this where you apologize to Brandi?
So apparently everybody at the table is PTSDing still from last year when I said something bold to the effect of if Brandi Carlile wins album/something of the year, that it will have been a miscarriage of justice, which was accurate. And yet, I apologize. It's TBD. It's TBD.
You then raved Brandi Carlile's Grammys performance.
It was an absolute smash. She killed it.
There are so many miscarriages of justice when it comes to the Grammys that to just pick one.
Also, really, why would we be focusing on me when they're I just think
when
that seems
so many other targets.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it seems so uncharitable to have to kick off with something where I get dragged. Let's wait till halfway through.
Do you want to turn our attention to category one, record of the year?
I would love to turn to the big picture categories. So let's talk about record, song, and album first. And Joe, do you want to take us through maybe a little bit of what we're seeing?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean,
Exactly that.
I think there are a lot of things we were expecting collectively, which is the presence of Lizzo, who obviously had her breakout year this year. With some very old songs. We'll get to that. But, you know, she's a talent.
It's 100% that 2017 stuff.
Yeah. Truth Hurts, nominated for Record and Song of the Year. Is that right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Billie Eilish, another artist, obviously owned the year, had her debut full length.
It's nice that one artist over 60 was nominated this year.
You're really hanging on to this.
It's a good bit.
It's a good bit.
It's a good bit.
It's a good bit.
The only classic songwriter in the bunch.
Right.
Like, the only classically molded songwriter in the bunch, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. So Billie's there. You know, she's across all the major categories. Factually, the youngest person, I think, to do that.
Very persnickety of you.
Ariana Grande is it here in the big categories. Thank You Next, the album.
After a year of beefing with Ken Ehrlich.
Ariana's album Sweetener last year was just nominated for pop album. She had a big kerfuffle about whether or not she was going to perform or not. She ended up not going to the show, even though she did win a Grammy. And then she came right back with another album early this year. Mm-hmm. Seems like, honestly, like 10 years ago that Thank You Next came out.
Yes.
But it was February, I think.
Yes.
Seven Rings, nominated for Record of the Year. And then things get a little weird. Old Town Road, Record of the Year, sure.
But the remix with Billy Ray.
Right, yes. Which became the official version.
Right, and Billy Ray gets a nomination technically,
yeah.
even though it's
yeah.
a remix? Okay,
yeah.
he still gets
He's
a nomination.
Nominated.
Okay.
He a could win his first Grammy Award for Old Town Road.
It's true. I mean, did he deserve a previous
Grammy
Award?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair. I mean, I'm not here to disparage Iggy Briggy Hart or any of his mid-90s work, but...
It was fun to learn this morning that he lost Best New Artist to Arrested Development. I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Where's their remix? Where's their remix of Old Town Road?
But then, okay, Lil Nas X, right, had maybe, probably the biggest song of the year. You know,
sure.
We can all agree this was a phenomenon. Lil Nas X, 7 EP.
Okay.
Nominated for Album of the Year.
Okay, that's...
Do you want to just do that? Get this
I'm just
over
gonna
with?
I'm just going to get it over with. The most ambitionless major label pop release of 2019, by far. Actual bad songs, actual uninspired songwriting, largely mediocre production. Some moments, but largely mediocre production. The Devil Works Hard, but Ron Perry works harder. And so 7 EP gets nominated for Album of the Year. And this is
not even an album.
It's not an album.
You really think it was the most unambitious major label release that you went through all of them? You fact checked that?
Okay. I did.
There's a lot of lack of ambition.
It's big facts over here on podcasts. Big facts only. I don't even want to say it's an album. 7 is a release that was so bad and so essentially irrelevant that when I listened to it, I remember talking to Karen and being like, it would weirdly be cruel just to review this on its own. So when I wrote about it, I wrote about it in the broader context of Lil Nas X as a social phenomenon and all these other kind of like tangential things, just so I wasn't essentially beating up on that record.
So it's an 8-song release. Two of them are Old Town Road.
Yes, 7 songs. So it's like a normal early career rapper club show.
Sure, and
it gets played twice.
Right,
and
the beginning
everything
and
else
the
is
end.
Filler. Yeah, right. Everything else is filler.
So not only was Lil Nas X nominated for Album of the Year, he was nominated for Best New Artist.
Fine.
Okay. Fine.
Also fine.
Panini was nominated.
I like Panini. Am I the only one?
It's a fine song. Karen made me edit out when I called it silly in my piece this morning.
I did. That's hashtag editing.
I stand by the fact that it's a silly song. It's nominated for Best Rap Song.
Show of hands, everybody who thinks Panini is silly.
It's not silly.
All right, majority takes it.
I kind of like it, but whatever. Okay, fine.
It's fine. It's a fine song.
Don't you be a meanie,
I don't think it's
Karen.
A knock against Lil Nas to call something he does silly.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He's a funny guy.
He says, don't you be a meanie.
I've heard worse.
Okay.
Not this year.
All right. Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
6 nominations. I mean, this is, what is this, Ben? Why?
Oof, all the big questions for me.
What is the industry telling us here?
Yes. Recording Academy telling us?
The Recording Academy. I think one of the things they're saying is they're like all in on young, fresh talent. They don't want to be seen as
Also Lil Nas X, which is great.
They don't want to be seen as the Fogey Academy. And that's something that's been building for quite a few years at this point. This is not brand new with this year, but this year it feels like they are all in. Lorde was, I think, like the first artist that really kind of made me feel that that's what was going on. It's like somebody who was very young, 12 months ago, nobody had heard of her. Now she's, you know, front and center in front
anointed.
Of everything. She's anointed. She's all over the Grammys. She has her big moment. I see Billie Eilish as kind of an iteration of that same kind of a phenomenon of a pop star. I feel like the Recording Academy, by rewarding or at least, you know, over-nominating Lil Nas.
Good word.
And dinging Taylor Swift, like they're sort of saying, like, we're a little tired of her. We don't want to sort of automatically nominate her for everything she does. We want to see something really big and impressive from her to give her the album of the year nomination.
Which, to be fair, Lover was impressive. Lover's a good record.
Yes. I think in their view, it wasn't as great as she could do.
Sure.
That's my
seven EPs. But seven was as great as Lil Nas X could do. But I think somebody told them, their grandnephew told them, you know, Lil Nas X is cool this year, yeah. Grandpa. Yeah. Would you vote for him? I don't think they listened to seven. I think they knew that Old Town Road was a blockbuster and, oh yeah, we better do something with that guy.
But I think 10 years ago, the nephew would have told them, you know, whatever is really cool, Grandpa. But they said, nah, but I really like this Robert Plant, Alison Krauss record. That's the one that really means something.
I'm sort of relieved there wasn't a Robert Plant, Alison Krauss record this year.
But I do want to bring up my theory.
Yeah, tell me.
The oldest song wins theory. Why is Seven Rings, based on My Favorite Things, nominated instead of Thank You Next?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I agree. Crazy for them to put this song up when Thank You Next is clearly the stronger record. I guess this, I don't know. Ben, how much is Rodgers and Hammerstein clearing off this?
They get 90%.
90% of the
They get 90%
of
the Grammy, too? Oh, my gosh.
Maybe it would have been embarrassing to see that in the song rating credits.
Should we listen to Seven Rings for those people who have forgotten?
Does Soulja Boy get a Grammy for this?
He should. Absolutely. Breakfast at Tiffany's and bottles of bubbles. Girls with tattoos who like getting in trouble. Lashes and diamonds, ATM machines. Buy myself all of my favorite things. Been through some bad, I should be a savage. Who would have thought it turned me to a savage? Rather be tied up with calls and my strings. Write my own checks like I write what I sing. Yeah.
This is actually a big anniversary year for The Sound of Music. Maybe this is synergy.
Huh.
Oh. I was like, where is that?
2019
I was like,
or
where are you going with
Sorry.
This?
Sorry. Is that what we just listened to?
No, I know. But the relative youth of the major category nominees did get me wondering something that I don't often wonder. Was 2019 or the late 2018 to late 2019 window, how was that time period for the release of basically what used to be Grammy bait? Music by older artists, you know, like 23rd Records by Herbie Hancock. Like, how was that
Western Stars by Springsteen?
Yeah, so there was the hottest take of all today on Variety.com, which is the Grammys ageist? Because they snubbed Bruce, Madonna, and Sheryl Crow.
Okay.
So...
And before they wrote that piece, I mean, you did know that Sheryl Crow had a record.
Yeah.
It was some big collaboration thing, right? Yeah. It was all these guests.
Karen went to the show.
Karen almost interviewed her.
I did. She's great. It's a good album.
No, Cap.
Yeah, people love it. I think there was a time in which those three albums, well, maybe not the Madonna album, sorry, Karen.
It's okay.
But the Bruce album and the
podcast over.
Sheryl album. Those could have been Album of the Year nominees at some point in time.
Mm-hmm. Also, there's a version where someone like Miranda Lambert gets a nomination, you know, a main category nomination.
Sure. Was that out in time? Came out too late, right? Wasn't that very...
There was
just
maybe,
came out
did she get nominated
ago.
For a song?
Yeah, the single
she nominated
came out
for
earlier.
A song. Okay.
Yeah, and the Pistolani's got
actually,
one
can
too.
We like nail this down? Ben, this is the 11-month Grammys?
Yes. It's the 11-month Grammy eligibility window.
October 1st, 2018 to August 31st, 2019.
So if you released an album in September of this year, normally it would have been eligible. This year it's not. So Post Malone is somebody who released an album in September. He's on the record of the year for Sunflower, which...
The soundtrack
from Spider-Man.
Right, with Spider-Man, right? But he's not in the album list, and maybe he would have made the cut, maybe he wouldn't have.
I won't be surprised if we see him next year.
Well, but why don't they just make it the fiscal year 2019 Grammys and go for that? I mean, it's such a weird time period anyway, because the fourth quarter is always where, you know, everybody who's procrastinated all year comes out, and those albums are eligible a year and a half later.
Right, although as those of us who were hoping to take vacation in August this year know, that is no longer the case. can we talk about the new geezers?
Yeah, so okay, so, the so there's oldest new people, right? The oldest new people nominated for album of
are they
the
younger
year.
Than me?
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. Does that mean I can no longer critique the music?
I
it's
think
all
you're
younger?
Fired.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, thanks guys. It's been extremely real.
That's how sports writing works.
Play Annalie Choppa, I'm leaving.
Bon Iver, Mr. Justin Vernon.
How old's Justin Vernon?
38 years old, I believe. II is nominated for Album of the Year.
So Justin Vernon, new Grateful Dead, as far as I'm concerned. It's going to, you know, we'll all be on the road following Justin Vernon 7 to 10 years.
We're going to get to the new Grateful Dead. They're also nominated for Album of the Year.
That's actually two new Grateful Deads.
And that's Vampire Weekend.
Yes.
Father of the Bride is here. And to me, the biggest shock of the whole thing.
I disagree with.
But would you have thought of it yesterday?
Yes, I
if
would.
If I made a list of, like, white bands that will probably get nominated, it would have been in, like, the top five.
Plus,
yes.
He used all of the L.A. studio guys, and the L.A. studio guys are a serious voting block.
So do voting blocks exist? This is also great. You know, hit the podcast email. Tell us about your Grammys voting block.
I would like to know.
Of course they do. Is this even a
Grammys
question?
You got the Grammy group chats. Like, you know, you got, like, different genre group chats. Like, let us in.
So
can we talk about one more person nominated for Album of the Year who was nominated for a bunch last year?
But I want to finish the Pitchfork trifecta.
Please go ahead.
Which is that Lana Del Rey is also nominated for Album of the Year and Song of the Year.
Two podcasts in a row extolling the virtues of Lana Del Rey trying to dodge the shots.
To me, that's an inspired nomination.
I agree.
Good record. A culmination of a career that has been building. She made a huge leap. You know, she'd never been nominated in any of the big categories. She made the singer-songwriter album. It's great.
Yep.
Well-reviewed. It wasn't a huge
commercial
success, but I think it's cool to see it here.
But it's also really late to nominate her for the Grammys.
But it's a peak.
But
it's quality for sure. But it's also one of those like, oh yeah, we better pay attention to her now. We forgot, you know, when she was like at the pinnacle.
Yeah, the point I was making,
which
to
is
John,
the classic Grammy
right.
geezer.
But,
yeah,
but to be fair,
which is like
I
Steely
actually,
Dan's but, yeah. against nature.
But my theory with Lana Del Rey is basically, for better or worse, the stink of like how she arrived into pop music and the kind of resentment that, you know, music insiders had to the constructedness of her persona and yada, yada, yada. That lasted for a really long time. And it lasted through, and Joe, you and I were talking about this yesterday, it lasted through some actually really great records mm-hmm. that were better.
Ultraviolence.
Yeah, that were better than Born to Die. Yeah. And I think what happened is
it's one. One John.
Maron. Maron. I think what happened is it took 5, 6, 7 years to detach from that entirely. And that's why you've seen Lana now. I'm not sure it's particular to what's on this record. I think it's more a timing thing.
So the
should we hear Mariner's Apartment Complex?
We played that one last time. Let's play.
Did we play Mariner's last time?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
I wasn't here last time.
Play the title track.
Play the nominated title track.
Yeah. Norman Effing Rockwell.
Because you're just a just what you do.
So my thing about Lana is you know, I think, John, what you said is correct. But also, the thing that made me think this was a Grammys album when I first heard it is that it's so guitar and piano.
Yep.
It's like she basically stripped away all of the playing that she was doing with like rap signifiers and beats and having The Weeknd featured. Like she took that all away and she just made her Laurel Canyon album. And I think that that to me screamed Grammys.
It's also all about California.
Right.
So, I mean, all of show business people like show business ideas.
So the final big nominated artist, Her, the album is I Used to Know Her, another album that's not really an album in the traditional sense. It's a compilation of two EPs, one of which came out in the deadline and one of which did not, I believe. Her was nominated 5 times last year. She had a pretty roundly loved performance. Mm-hmm. She won twice, I think, at this year's show.
It feels strenuous.
Is she even the best person doing that thing that she's doing right now?
No, she's the best person doing that thing who had a commercial release in the time window, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, my one sort of data point on her is that she has been managed for a long time by Jeff Robinson, who used to manage Alicia Keys, who, as we know, is a Grammy's favorite, and now for the second year in a row, the Grammy's host. So, look, industry connections.
Three pianos this year.
I'm not throwing up a conspiracy theory. I'm just saying, like,
you're not throwing up a rhapsody, is what you're saying.
But also a simpler theory is that she's a large, air quotes here, real musician.
She plays.
She plays all the instruments, and Grammy voters really like that.
Yeah. So she's here in Song of the Year for a song called Hard Place,
which she performed at the Grammys last year.
Right.
And is this like getting nominated for an Emmy for a live performance at the Oscars?
Kind of, yeah.
Is this what this is?
You know what this made me think about, though? People like her, for the last 2 years now, they've expanded the number of nominations in the major categories, in the top four.
Yep.
It used to be 5, now it's 8. And since there are more, I sort of struggle for a little bit of like, what is the point? Is it really any different? Did it add anything? But I don't mind that Her is there as much. And I also don't mind that Lil Nas X is up for Album of the Year there because—
Until he wins.
We'll see. But like, woo! There's a little more room for that now. And like,
I want to see the acceptance speech when he wins.
Maybe he'll just tweet it.
Yeah, I was going to say it'd be better if he tweeted it. If he could show some memes on the screen.
LOL.
I don't think that the expanded categories or the expanded slots of the nominations has like changed the makeup really of the nominees. But it just feels like the real estate is a little less precious because of that. And so because she's occupying a spot, I don't mind it as much.
Tell that to Taylor Swift.
I was just going
to
say, I mean, come on. There's 8 spots.
Taylor the Swift.
For album. She makes an album that is like really an album. It hangs together as an album. It's very, very good.
Yeah, I don't even care if it hangs together.
Blockbuster opening
week. It's just good.
This is mind-blowing to me.
I think it's good, and she's an artist that's perceived as being able to make something great. That's, I think, the problem.
No, I think it's great.
I think it's industry politics.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I think she's being.
Yeah,
I think
so
she's being
snobbish or something.
I mean, the question now is, you know, the Scooter beef. We've talked about it at length. Is she
paying the price?
I don't know. Is she?
Do you think that? I don't know.
Ariana's here.
I don't know what Scooter's relationship is with the Recording Academy. I assume it's good. You know,
but where's Tori?
Did Social House get a nomination?
Not yet. Next year.
Best new artist. Producer of the year. Best tropical album. Like, just, you know, Scooter is like trying to find some angle.
They are nominated.
So you don't think it has anything to do with this?
I don't think it has anything to do with Scooter.
They're nominated.
They're nominated with Ariana for Boyfriend for Best Pop Duo Group Performance.
I lied.
The Scooter politics, works harder.
As I said before, I think the politics might be people are a little tired of her always being there. She's been a darling of the Grammys for so long. The bar is really high for her. I do think that they don't automatically want to give her the nomination.
But why doesn't she become the next Alicia Keys? You know, why doesn't she become a Grammy darling instead of slapped on the wrist?
And I'll say, you know, she already didn't get recognized for Reputation, which any podcast listener knows we feel is an underrated album,
is seen as a disappointing Taylor Swift album.
Some of us. I'm speaking of about
JP,
a majority.
Do you have your own counter podcast that you just record every week and release where you just drag us for what we talk about on podcasts? I would listen to
so
that.
So look, Taylor is here. She's Lover is nominated for Song of the Year. You Need
not
to Calm Down
best,
is
not
best
even
solo
the best,
performance.
Not even the best song on Lover.
But the one they put up for this
yeah,
award.
Yeah, I get it.
Sure.
But still not.
Also, again, the Grammy Academy does not necessarily listen to the music that they put on their ballots.
No.
And that's the title song.
Yes.
So it's easy.
Should we listen to You Need to Calm Down or Lover?
No.
Let's listen to Lover.
Craft matters in small ways, like how coffee is made or how a wooden table is built piece by piece. And in not so small ways, like how your money is cared for. At UBS, we elevate investing to a craft. We deliver our services with passion, expertise, and meticulous attention to detail. This is what investing means to UBS. Not just work, but a craft. Discover more at ubs.com/craft. The value of investments may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount originally invested.
Hi, this is Eric Kim with New York Times Cooking. As a recipe developer, I spend a lot of my time trying to come up with dishes that are quick, easy, but also very special. For me, that means dishes like gochugaru salmon. It's a crispy salmon fillet with a salty, sweet glaze that bubbles up and candies. I love cooking this because it only takes 20 minutes. I developed this recipe when I was down in Georgia with my family. It stars a Korean red pepper powder called gochugaru. I love the way it blooms in the maple syrup and the rice vinegar. If you don't have gochugaru, you should totally get some. It's super versatile. It's not just that it brings heat, but fruity sweetness as well. You can get this recipe and so many more ideas on New York Times Cooking. Visit nytcooking.com to get inspired.
So my question is now, you know, and I asked this in my piece this morning, does she show up to play it?
You mean after her career-defining performance at the AMAs? Why would you ever do that?
They're not giving her enough.
Is she going to boycott the Grammys?
She's getting some sort of Billboard Icon Award. She's getting, like, you know, the best artist
she's
ever awarded at the AMAs.
All the fake awards.
Why would she come to the ceremony that actually means something but has snubbed her? I don't think she shows up.
How bad is that for this show? I mean, she would be the most famous person performing.
When she comes back with the Joni...
John, you hit the mic second time.
When she comes back with the Joni Mitchell bangers sometime, if you're listening, now would be a great time to start working on that. Maybe it's a triumphant return 2 to 3 years from now. I don't think her showing up, doing a 3-minute performance, winning an inessential award, and having to sit in the audience, that's not a
win.
It's not a win.
Song of the Year is not an inessential category.
I mean, she could.
She's on the ballot. Yeah, right? Anything is possible at the Grammys.
That's
she
true.
Win.
I don't know. Panini, though.
No. But this is a perfect illustration of, like, the political problems of the Grammys, that if the artist doesn't get nominated enough, they might not show up and perform. And the Grammys have to take this position that there's a church and state about it, and that who gets to perform isn't necessarily who wins the awards.
It's
we
like
don't
Pitchfork
know.
Festival.
Nobody believes that in the industry, right? But that's what the Grammys have to deal with and the risk that they are always going to take with this. And since the nominations are reviewed by a special committee, the people in that room must have known that that might happen. That
yes.
If we block Taylor here, there may be a price to pay for the awards.
This might be an auspicious moment to talk about what's been happening at the Recording Academy over the last 2 or 3 years. Cesario, come
Does
on.
Does anybody care?
I don't know. I don't need to say. I mean,
give
look,
him 20 seconds.
I didn't invite Neil Portnow here. You know, it's not like he's waiting outside for a chance to plead his case.
Neil wants to step up.
We'll give them 20.
This
come
will,
on.
This
give
will
the
be
people
our
20
first
seconds.
Explain yeah. to people why is this night different from all other nights?
The Recording Academy's been in some hot water the last couple of years. They've been beat up over the representation of women in the awards, which, to be fair, is a massive industry-wide problem.
And Neil Portnow,
who was the CEO of the Academy, who, by the way, was seen as this kind of stabilizing force and did a lot of good stuff. Mm-hmm. He also said something at the Grammys a couple of years ago that upset lots of people. He said women should step up if they want to advance their careers and be recognized by the Grammys.
And he did not mean the dance movies.
He did not. He got beat up heavily. He was sort of gracefully shown the exit. There's a new CEO. It's a woman, Deborah Dugan. She works for RED, the charity that Bono co-founded. She has a pretty long history in entertainment. Don't know a lot about her, but she's a much more sort of camera-ready personality than Portnow was.
Do you get the sense that there is some kind of advocacy strain running through how the nominations were pulled together this year? You mentioned certain people were over-nominated. Do you feel that there's intentionality behind the over-nomination of some folks and the complete lack of nomination for Bruce Springsteen?
Not having to do with this, like, management change at the Grammys, I don't think so. I just think, like, that's the pressure that's been on the Grammys for quite a long time now.
But
is that we want to be seen as relevant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing for the Grammys. We need to be seen as relevant. We need to get young people to watch the show, turn on CBS, watch the ads, right? And so we have to do something about making the nominees more current, more contemporary.
But I wonder if they're going to book the show differently, because even when there's young, more contemporary nominees, they always fill the show with these quote unquote Grammy moments, which are old people that you don't necessarily want to see paired with young people.
Are you talking about Sting and Shaggy again?
I am. I was there for that rehearsal. It was brutal. And I like them both individually.
That was like a very, Sting, Shaggy. That was extremely weird flex. Yeah. Just FYI.
Karen being at the rehearsal.
I was there until I was asked to leave. Yeah. I was there.
I would have asked you to leave and yes. I wasn't even there.
Very briefly. But, you know, they always do this. It's like they have to have their real music moments, as JP always talks about. You know, like with the real instrument, you have to see real music being created on stage.
And also Lil Nas X.
Yeah, but I mean, and who's the big in memoriam this year? I mean, they're going to need to come up with something.
Nipsey Hussle, maybe.
That would be way more interesting.
Could happen. I think, you know, he got nominated for 3 awards in the rap categories.
But you know that it's going to be the 45th anniversary of the release of some classic album that will give them the
Sound of Music. Karen already told us.
It's the Sound of Music.
Jay-Z's The Blueprint? I might have the years wrong.
Maybe there's an Abbey Road segment they can do or something. Like.
I want to know one more thing about the Album of the Year noms, and then we can sort of move down the list.
We got to get to snubs,
which
too.
We did the snub.
Yeah, yeah.
There was other snubs. Snub. Because I Love You, the Lizzo album, nominated here in its deluxe form.
Yes.
So we've talked about this a little bit in past episodes. Lizzo's album came out. She was, you know, ready to be a pop star. Juice was the lead single. Catchy song. Sounds like Bruno Mars. People thought it was going to hit. Didn't really hit. All of a sudden, out of nowhere comes Truth Hurts, the song we heard at the top of the show. The song was released in 2017. It's quickly added to the album as a deluxe track. Then, out of nowhere, again, Good as Hell, Lizzo song from 2016.
Yeah.
Also starts coming up the streaming charts, gets added to the album for the super deluxe edition.
Yes.
And now we have Lizzo has a smash album thanks to 2 old songs. Never seen anything like it. Streaming is amazing. Music industry is amazing. I don't even know what to say.
Could they put out like a third deluxe version if another old song appeared?
Why not? I actually have I have an actual question. Can you purchase a physical copy of the super deluxe version of the Lizzo album? Or essentially, is what's nominated the Lizzo plus whatevs playlist?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
We're going to have to find that out.
If anyone who's listening has purchased a physical super deluxe Lizzo album at an Urban Outfitters or on a Lizzo web merch store.
With both Truth Hurts and Good as Hell.
Yes, please do let us know.
Is the super deluxe like a leather jacket that includes a download of the extra tracks?
So this,
the
I
Super
mean,
Deluxe is the boat that our ancestors came to Ellis Island on carrying the first Lizzo record. It's amazing.
So this is just, I mean, this is just industry shenanigans at their finest. You gotta respect it.
But should there be a category? Should there be a category for most perverse record executive finesse?
So it would like, be the 7 EP versus because I love you.
Yeah, I think we should have a separate category.
Let me ask a question though. Let's say the rules excluded the album, right? Or like, let's say the rules excluded her for whatever reason. Truth Hurts couldn't be eligible, and the album really wasn't as attractive because it didn't have the old hits. Would we be sitting here now saying Lizzo was robbed because the only thing she got was like best urban contemporary R&B, right? I mean, I think we all agree that
raise
like,
your
Lizzo,
hand if you would say Lizzo was robbed.
Right.
Raise your hand. Okay. Well,
I would say so because I think Lizzo is genuinely a phenomenon of the year, and she is a really appealing star who has caught on, and she's like Grammy catnip in every way.
But so there, but there's no phenomenon of the year Grammy. There should be. Maybe there should
be. Maybe that's what the Grammys are now. Phenomenons of the year.
Just fitting them into these old.
This is literally what Lil Nas X won at the CMAs. It was musical event of the year.
Although, to be fair, they've always had a musical event of the year.
What have the other events been?
They're usually collaborations.
They're often BB Rexa, Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah, yeah, or so and so appears on CMT Crossroads and like gets nominated.
I don't think that's like, sorry, too just had far to drop a little off about like what the Grammys are now. Yeah. Is that like the emphasis on trending, current, hot, you know, meme phenomena.
Which is better than old guys saying, sure, you know, right, you young whippersnappers don't appreciate Tony Bennett.
Calling it now, Billie Eilish, Tony Bennett, duet, 2020 Grammys, book it. If you haven't booked it already, book it
Lady
now.
Gaga's
yeah,
sad.
You put a spell on me.
I'm telling, oh, wow, honestly, yes.
I don't know if you guys
you put
felt
a spell
this way
on a bad guy.
But one of the things I felt in looking through the nominations here is like once you get past like the third or fourth page, mm-hmm, like past the major categories, the whole thing just kind of feels a lot less exciting to me.
Yeah. Yes.
And maybe it's because there aren't, you know, like the Ed Sheeran record and, you know, some of these other ones like aren't as exciting maybe. But the genre categories tucked in there just feel a lot less vital to me. Like the major categories are like capturing something about this moment in pop culture pretty well.
And the other ones are just like Mad
Libs. The other ones, like the, you know, number 99 on the playlist.
And now to be fair, you know, for a group of people who like sort of are constitutionally cranky and who every year come to this table or tables like it and complain about how whack the Grammys are, it's like very rich of us in the year when the Grammys and all their main categories is like, fine, you want youth?
Right.
You want diversity? You want hip, quasi-hip-hop? Like, you want all this stuff? Fine, here it is. And here we are again, just dragging everybody. So it tells
Look,
me
I
more
think these
about
are pretty
us
good.
Than about the Grammys.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
these okay, are pretty let's, good let's, nominations let's, in the top, you know? Okay.
Yeah, there are some flaws. You get to the hip-hop category.
Yeah,
there's a
so
lot of weirdness
There's no
happening.
Rap. There's no rap up here,
right,
which is pretty
no
interesting.
Real, right. I mean, Lil Nas...
Right. I mean, there's no... Like yes. I said, there's no rap.
Yes. I mean...
Was Tekka eligible?
Tekka was up for Best New Artist, had been submitted, could have been in there. DaBaby... Nowhere Should've, to be seen. You know, he's
could have been a best new
he's
artist.
In some genre stuff. Megan Thee Stallion, not really here. You know, and then there were some disappointing rap albums, right? Like Chance the Rapper, you probably would have expected to see here. As far as I know, nobody liked that album.
He's nominated in there for something.
Yeah, he's
as
in
As far
here.
As he knows,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he has, you know.
Oh! Yeah, Met Patrol!
21 Savage, you know, put out a pretty good album.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't get, you know, maybe a hard
He person. Got like a song. Like,
yeah, there's some stuff in mm-hmm. here further down.
Had a tough year with other stuff.
Yeah, he's not up top. You know, I think it's interesting, you know, we had a few years of Drake, Kendrick, Jay-Z, now none of them won, of course, in the giant categories, but they were in the mix and they were the headliners, at least on nominations day.
Right. But this year,
it's Vampire Weekend and Bon Iver.
Also,
there are Kanye and Kendrick of the year.
Also, it was an opportunity to put out some Latin records to maybe give Rosalia could have gotten a big look.
She is Best New Artist.
She's in the Best New Artist.
Best New Artist, but I mean, you know, her album certainly could have gotten a look, and I think nobody would have looked askance at that.
Mm-hmm. That would have been a good move.
Bad Bunny
Bad Bunny.
Certainly.
He has two nominations in the same category.
For one very good album and one not very good album.
Sure.
To put Bad Bunny in the 8 album of the year thing would have been a huge statement. And yet, nothing.
Well, yeah. I don't know that I would have expected that, but it certainly would have been a statement. And, you know, another artist, you know, we mentioned in that camp is BTS. BTS not in the mix.
And again, BTS, this wouldn't have necessarily been their actual breakthrough year, but in Grammy time, it would have been the year that the Grammys finally figured out to do something about BTS. But
would they have been eligible for Best New Artist?
I don't think so, because they had a number of earlier releases.
I think
releases,
that would have been last year, right, Ben? Weren't they in the conversation last year?
I think the rule is that they couldn't have been nominated for anything.
So then, yeah, I guess they could have been nominated for Best New Artist.
The Best New Artist is always like when we finally catch up with them.
Right. Let's run these down real quick.
I mean, this is a pretty wild Best New Artist category.
Yeah, let's run these down real quick.
Actually, good. Probably the best to me of the major categories.
Even with the weird ones?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So Billie Eilish, we talked about. Lil Nas X, we talked about. Lizzo, we talked about. Rosalia is in there. Then you got Maggie Rogers, sure. Grammy bait. And then, to me, the surprise is Black Pumas.
Never heard of that band.
Have you not received the publicity emails about that band?
I get 700 emails a day.
Yeah, but
JP, tell us about Black Pumas.
Black Pumas is an Austin band.
Oh,
that's a soul revival, basically. It's a studio rat guitarist who found a busker on the street who could sing like Al Green. And that's their band.
Do you like it?
Do you want to?
I'm a little
mixed.
Can
we listen to a Black Puma song? It will certainly be my first time hearing a Black Puma song.
That's a very Grammy sounding story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they on a label? Like, are they like?
I think they're on ATO. Is that
I
right?
have received probably 300 emails about the Black Pumas.
They were considered the stars of South by Southwest, which happens to be in Austin.
What's a good Black Pumas song?
Well, I guess the most symptomatic one is probably Colors.
Symptomatic. Hey, listen, according to this press release, it was currently number one most added at AAA radio.
You're giving a lot of airtime to this press release.
Do you want to shout out the publicist while we're here?
Nope.
But I actually think the Black Pumas have potential. I think they're really musical. That guy does have a really good voice. The songwriting is a little patchwork of other soul stuff at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that kind of band improves.
You called it symptomatic. I just want to emphasize that.
You're welcome.
Like, if your favorite, if the best thing that you could say about a band's most known song is that it is symptomatic, y'all do the math.
Oh, I meant syncopated, sorry.
No, you most certainly did not.
I woke up to the morning sky first. Baby blue, just like we when I get up off this ground, I shake leaves back down to the brown, 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 till I'm clean. Then the walk will I be shaded by the trees, by a meadow of green, oh, by the mile. I'm headed to town, town, town.
All right, in this category, we also got Tank and the Bangas.
That's low-key good
The Tiny
band.
Desk Winners.
Low-key good band.
And lots of fun live.
Cool Grammys pick, sure. And Yola, another Grammys-esque pick.
Too early, though.
Yeah, but
new artist.
Sure.
Yeah, but still too early. Like, for a bunch of other new artists who are, like, more established new artists, like, still, like, feels a little too new.
An English singer who works with Dan Auerbach.
And appeared on the High Women album, I believe.
Good voice.
And again, it's like old school stuff that the Grammys like.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, whose category is that? It's Lizzo's probably, right?
Billie Eilish.
Ah.
I think Billie Eilish.
I think Lizzo's going to win a bunch of other stuff and that this is going to go to Billie.
You think this will be Billie's moment?
I do want to issue the annual warning, which is that most nominated is sometimes least winning.
Yeah.
That's been how it's been for the past few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, the India Ari syndrome.
This is the last prompt I'll give you guys. Louis Capaldi.
Rob!
Song of the year, someone you loved, the number one song in the country.
It's so slow.
What do we think of this?
Well, Sam Smith wasn't available this year.
Right.
I like Louis Capaldi.
Oh, you would. This is like a classic Caramonica troll.
This is like a Puth thing.
Classic Caramonica
troll.
That's
not a Puth thing.
I can see a line.
Oh my gosh. I just want to say that in the sort of post-Sheerans, I think Lewis Capaldi is above average.
And he'll probably win Song of the Year.
That would be awful if that happened, and I hope that that does not happen. But I do think that of the post-Sheerans, Capaldi and that kid, the Australian kid's name? Dean Lewis or something.
Yeah,
I think those guys, they're not bad.
Pedro, just drop 5 seconds of Someone You Loved so that people know what it sounds like.
The people know what it sounds
like.
Yeah,
but they know it from CBS. So yes. I want them to know it intentionally. You know here to get me through it all. Let my guard down and then you pull the rug. I was getting kind of used to being someone you love. But now the day bleeds into nightfall. You know here to get me through it all. Let my guard down and then you pull the rug. I was getting kind of used to being someone you love.
I actually want to give a shout out. Best Contemporary Instrumental, which used to be like boring fusion music by studio guys, is nuts this year.
All right, what's in there?
What's in there is Christian Scott
Atundi, I Need Geo. Ancestral Recall is the album.
Ancestral Recall, which is this deep, complex exploration of the African diaspora. It's got Brazilian drumming. It's got poetry. It is not the kind of easy listening contemporary instrumental that they tend to nominate. Also in there is Mark Juliana's Beat, Beat, Beat Music, which is this electronics and drumming minimalism thing that is also not what they usually nominated. So somebody was probably just, it's called music. We'll put it in the instrumental music category.
Should we play a little bit of it?
I'd certainly be curious to hear it.
Play some of Christian Scott Atunde.
I think there's a title track featuring Saul Williams. Are there any other just like favorite categories?
In Best Rap Album, Tyler gets nominated for Igor. Mm. And that's actually interesting because you would think if something would kind of bubble up into the main categories from in this particular year's batch, you would think it would be Igor.
Especially because it's not really a rap album.
Yeah, no, it's
most
a vocal
assuredly
album.
Not. I mean, you know, it's like low key Grammy bait.
Yeah.
I don't know if enough people were willing to listen to it through that lens, but low key, it's a Grammy bait.
Though
record.
It was in some conversations. You know, I think when people were guessing about what could be a sort of dark horse pick, I heard Tyler's name a lot, and it would still be cool to see him perform at the show. Like, I think he should be in this mix, and I think he wants nothing more than that.
Yeah.
So put him on that stage.
Personally very excited. Drip Too Hard.
Drip nominated. Too Hard. Lil Baby and Gunna. Grammy nominated artists. Very cool.
Tremendous, tremendous. Karen, you are aware of Best Alternative Music Album. You know about these nominees, yeah?
I won't be addressing this category.
What about Best Rock Album?
Wait,
can
no,
you just read you, the bands and Best Rock
wait,
Album?
Best Rock
you want to talk about Big Thief getting nominated?
Karen says she doesn't want to talk about it.
I wasn't even here for that other podcast.
If you've made it this far into this episode, you know.
It's Grammy bait. Best Rock Album, Bring Me the Horizon, Cage the Elephant, The Cranberries, I Prevail, and Rival Sons.
Ben pointed out to me that this is The Cranberries' first nomination.
It is.
That's a very classic Grammy move.
That's extremely dark.
The In Memoriam win.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Best Rock Song, Tool. 1975, Vampire Weekend, Brittany Howard, and Gary Clark Jr.
Okay.
I actually kind of like the way that category.
Yeah, that's a funny category.
That's just like a collage category.
Yeah,
I mean,
like that.
Tool versus Vampire Weekend. Who's going to, in a dark alley, who's going to win?
All of these are crazy. It's just, I mean, I there's got to be something else to nominate. Rock has just been such a disaster the past few years.
I mean,
I know. Literally,
wait, can
I quote?
Wait, can you make a soundboard with that?
Oh, the category.
I would like that as a permanent drop on Popcast. Anytime I press a button,
where,
I want to hear Karen saying
Sherry
Rock
Van
has been.
Album
oh yeah.
Nomination.
Okay. So, should we go around the table? We'll do some snubs, some personal snubs. Karen, you wanted Sharon Van Etten in the mix. She made a pretty great album. I thought it could have been Grammys-esque, at least in one of these genre categories.
Agree.
Ben, anything you thought you'd see in here?
I'm going to pass.
Okay.
That's right. Ben's going to keep his his objectivity. I don't believe in the Grammys, so I don't think that there's any merit in getting nominated or getting snubbed.
So, except for Taylor Swift.
That's my soundbite.
That's just facts.
No, wow. That's the soundbite. I don't believe in the Grammys.
I mean, yeah.
And the Grammys doesn't believe in us.
No, that's actually not true. That's actually false. Wait, did we not get nominated for Best Music Podcast at the Grammys?
Not yet.
Did that not happen?
What about, was Honey not eligible this year, Robin? Was that last year?
You tell us.
Come
Karen.
On.
Robin has her own award show in which she wins every award.
The Gans.
Yeah.
I will do my own version of the Grammys. That's totally fine.
Right.
That album came out October 26, 2018. That was eligible.
The last thing I'll mention, maybe we'll go out on this, Beyonce's Homecoming.
Yes.
Nominated here as what? Best Music Film,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. Could it have been more places? Could it have been Album of the Year?
It's interesting because a thing that happens a lot or has happened a lot with the Grammys over the years is an older...
That was four.
Everything
that
about
was
that.
Five. We
hit five.
Was five. Also, we definitely hit the over on
also,
John
the sound of putting something into his pocket as well. Sorry, Pedro.
I've got a plug-in for that.
Oh, man. A thing that has happened a lot in the past with older Grammy nominees, especially in the Album of the Year category, is often they are nominated for what feel from a distance to be like off-brand releases. Covers projects, duets albums, live albums, things that... When I was a younger person watching the Grammys, I even had a hard time believing that so-and-so's versions of someone else's songs released in their third decade of recording would be the most impressive album of the year. With the Beyoncé album, you actually have an opportunity to say, well, okay, we still sort of nominate these kind of absurd, non-centrist projects, but to do it for someone who's relevant and also had basically the most important live concert of the decade, like actual most important live. So it would have been a great moment to do like a very classic Grammys cornball thing, but to actually do it in a way that honored a worthwhile thing. But no.
And true. You could have brought a marching band on stage for the telecast.
I think that ship may have sailed.
Yeah.
Should we go out on some Homecoming?
I would love to.
Can I ask a question to the table, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Has anybody actually listened to Homecoming as an album?
I have listened to it, yeah. It's as good as
so it
you
holds
remember
up.
It
holds up as yeah, an
yeah,
audio
really
phenomenon.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, it's vibrant.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, seeing it live was, like, an unparalleled experience. It's hard to, like, recapture that. But, like,
oh, I'm
musically,
sorry.
It's still
is somebody
very...
bragging about being at
that's
the Coachella
That's an actual
live.
Brag, though. Okay. I'm sorry. That's an actual brag. Not okay. about watching Shaggy uh-huh, and uh-huh. Sting rehearse for a terrible
just,
Grammys
just
reward.
Pointing it out.
Actual flexes only yes. on podcast. I'm sorry.
As one of 50,000 people in attendance.
But do you have the live stream bootleg in your Dropbox currently, like I do?
I do.
Did I send it to you?
First yeah. of all, why isn't your Dropbox? Why isn't it saved on your hard drive?
It's like 3 gigs.
It's a million gigs.
Dog, yeah. get a big hard drive.
What kind of issue are you having? A colleague of mine hooked me up with it.
Okay, let's go out with a little bit of the Flawless Feeling Myself medley. That is our show. Thank you to the squad, Ben, Karen, Joe, JP. Listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. Email us all your hot Grammy takes. Also, if you care too much about the Grammys, it's like in the Tyler GQ thing where if you wear Fila disruptors, like, we're not on the same page. Like, if you care too much about the Grammys, we're probably not on the same page, but we love you nonetheless. And subscribe to podcasts anywhere you get your audio content, Google Play, Pandora, Stitcher, etc., etc. Also, shout out to Ethan, who I met on the train on the way in today. Our producer is Pedro Rosado from Head Stepper Media. We will be back next week.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.